Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to JinkoSolar First Quarter 2019 Earnings Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to queue for a question, you'll need to press zero followed by one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Ms. Ripple Zhang. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today for JinkoSolar's First Quarter 2019 Earnings Conference Call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on Newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on the IR website. On the call today from JinkoSolar are Mr. Chen Kangping, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Charlie Cao, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Gener Miao, Chief Marketing Officer. Mr. Chen will discuss JinkoSolar's business operations and company highlights, followed by Mr. Miao, who will talk about the sales and marketing, and then Mr. Cao, who will go through the financials. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the Safe Harbor provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements except as required under the applicable law. It's now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Chen Kangping, CEO of JinkoSolar. Mr. Chen will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Chen.
谢谢 Ripple。各位早上、晚上好。
Thank you.
感谢大家参加今天的电话会议。
Thank you, Ripple. Good morning and good evening to everyone, and thank you for joining us today.
本季度组件出货量达到3037兆瓦，同比增长50.7%，环比降低16.1%。一季度海外组件出货比例超过90%。营业收入8.68亿美金，同比增长27.7%。
Module shipments were 3,037 MW during the quarter, an increase of 50.7% year-over-year, and a decrease of 19.1% sequentially. Overseas shipments accounted for over 90% of the total shipments during the quarter. Total revenues were $868 million, an increase of 27.5% year-over-year, and a decrease of 24.6% sequentially. Gross margin was 16.6%, up from 14.7% sequentially and 14.4% year-over-year, as we increasingly benefit from a higher proportion of sales being generated by our high-efficiency model products and further reductions in production costs.
随着光伏平价上行时代的来临，全球太阳能需求呈现长期可持续的快速增长势头。海外市 场， 太阳能需求的持续强劲和下半年中国市场的启 动， 共同推动公司业务迅速增长。
As grid parity approaches, global solar demand continues to generate rapid and long-term sustainable growth momentum. Growth during the quarter was primarily driven by strong continuous demand from overseas markets and the anticipated kickoff of the domestic market during the second half of the year.
欧洲市场表现亮 眼， 主要原因是最低限价的取 消， 使得价格敏感的电网项目需求快速释放。今年欧洲装机量有望达到17吉瓦，
Your European markets continue to perform well following the cancellation of the minimum import price policy, and the demand from price-sensitive products in particular has surged. Overall, European markets are expected to install 17 gigawatts this year, exceeding the previous estimate of 15 gigawatts.
美国新能源市场巨大, 2019年装机量预计12至15吉瓦, 近期出台的双面发电组件, 豁免美国2018税的政策, 预计将进一步提升美国市场中长期的需求, 使双面发电组件的应用比例显著提升, 我们将抓住美国市场的机遇, 充分利用马来西亚和美国的先进高效产能, 强大的品牌知名度, 高质量的产品和一流的客户服务, 进一步扩大公司在美国市场的领先地位。
The solar energy market in the U.S. is huge. Recently, policy changes exempting beneficial solar modules from Section 201 tariffs are accepted to support medium and long-term demand and significantly increase the application of beneficial modules. The market opportunity in the U.S. is massive, and we intend to expand our presence there by leveraging our overseas high-efficiency capacity in Malaysia and the U.S. Strong brand recognition, high-quality products, and a best-in-class customer service.
近期中国政策的密集出台，意味着下半年需求的集中释放。政策明确了除服务品项目外30亿元的补贴总额，以及除服务用和服务品项目外，其余项目都需要参与竞价的总体思路。 光伏竞价项目引入充分的竞争机制，旨在制定补贴规模下或者最大的市场规模，挤出非技术成本，从而加速电网品价。中国今年的装机量预计40吉瓦。作为行业领导者，金科重点的中国市场推动高效产品，特别是能够有效降低度电成本的高效产品的应用，为客户带来高效率、高性价比、高可靠度的行业领先产品和解决方案。
On the domestic front, policies recently laid out by China's National Energy Administration are expected to create a surge in demand during the second half of the year. The total amount of subsidies, excluding poverty alleviation projects, was set at RMB 3 billion. Other than a separate subsidy scale for residential solar systems and poverty alleviation projects, the plans laid out require that all projects must win a bid in order to be subsidized. The introduction of a fully competitive mechanism for project bids aims to create the largest market share with the existing subsidy scale and accelerate grid parity by cutting non-technical costs. China is expected to install 40 gigawatts this year. As a leading manufacturer, we will focus on promoting the adoption of high-efficiency products across the domestic market, particularly for products that reduce the cost of energy. This will support the transition of the Chinese market towards grid parity without subsidies and provide our customers with industry-leading products and solutions that offer high efficiency, high performance, and high reliability.
其他市场也同样十分活跃，接下来Janet将会更详细地介绍情况。
Other markets are also very active. I will let Gina go into further detail on this.
全球市场对高效单晶产品的需求正在大幅提升，公司的高效单晶产品持续供不应求，因此我们正在加速高效单晶的布局。 2019年预计高效单晶产品的出货比例超过 70%。
Global solar demand for our high-efficiency mono product is growing significantly and has resulted in them being in short supply continuously. We are accelerating the expansion of our high-efficiency mono capacity and estimate they will account for over 70% of our total shipments for the year.
高效产能方面，公司近期完成的1.6亿美元的融资将用于产能的扩充。 公司的硅片电子片和组件的产能在一季度末分别达到 10.5吉瓦、 7吉瓦 和 11吉瓦。 公司正在快速增加单晶硅片产能和高效薄荷电池产能。 我们在四川乐山投资的一期 5G瓦装机规正项目已于今年6月份投产，预计到四季度实现量产。新工厂将以行业领先的成本结构和先进技术树立行业标杆，并显著提升公司自产高效产品的占比和整体的盈利能力。2019年年底，公司的硅片、电子片和组件的产能将分别达到15G瓦、10G瓦和16G瓦，其中包括11.7G瓦的单芯硅片产能，以及9.2G瓦的薄荷电池产能。
Turning to the high efficiency capacity, we successfully raised $160 million last month, which is being deployed to further expand our high efficiency module production capacities. Our wafer cells and module capacity reached 10.5 gigawatts, 7 gigawatts, and 11 gigawatts, respectively, by the end of the first quarter. We are increasing output of both wafer and PERC capacity. Our new 5 gigawatts mono wafer production facility in Leshan, Sichuan Province, began trial production this month and will ramp up to full capacity by the fourth quarter of this year. This new production facility will serve as a benchmark for the industry with its industry-leading cost structure and a cutting-edge technology. The additional mono wafer capacity will allow us to significantly increase the proportion of our high-efficiency products we manufacture and improve overall profitability. We expect to reach wafer sales and module production capacity of 15 gigawatts, 10 gigawatts, and 16 gigawatts, respectively, by the end of the year. Of this, approximately 11.5 gigawatts will be mono wafers, and approximately 9.2 gigawatts will be PERC cells.
高效技术方面，我们定制的单晶炉性能更好，资本开支更低，确保了单晶的优良品质和低成本的硬件基础。不仅如此，我们自有的提速技术可使转晶速度进一步提升，导入的高产能开放设备和自动化设备可使开放成本大幅度下降。电池端，今年6月，公司宣布略爆版型。电池最高转换效率达到24.38%，N 型电池最高转换效率达到24.58%。同时，经第三方权威认证机构 TV 蓝鹰五月的测试认可，基于72版型高效单晶组件功率达到469.3瓦。公司在电池及组件高效率、高功率领域均取得重大突破，刷新行业纪录。在经典产品西塔系列组件的基础上，公司今年全新发布了天鹅系列双面组件，使用了透明背板，并结合杜邦Tesla透明薄膜技术，不仅提升了安装的便捷性，同时为客户带来了更低的度量成本。双面透明背板产品将会是未来市场的主流，公司双面产品的占比也会持续上升。
On the high efficiency technology front, our customized monocrystal furnace performs much more efficiently and requires lower capex, which help us ensure the premium quality and competitive pricing of our model products. The integration of our proprietary acceleration technology into our brick processing and automated systems has allowed us to further increase crystal growth rate and sharply reduce breaking costs on the cell side. The maximum conversion efficiency of our cheetah size cells and N-type cells reached 24.38% and 24.58% respectively in the June 2019. Additionally, power generated by our version 72 high-efficiency monocrystalline module reached 469.3 watts during testing conducted by TOF Rheinland, a respected three-party institution. We are clearly making significant breakthroughs and setting new industry standards when it comes to developing high efficiency and power cells and modules. This year, we also launched the latest addition to our premium Cheetah range of products, the Swan bifacial module with a new DuPont, clear DuPont Tedler-based backsheet. Lightweight materials alleviate a number of problems during the installation process and help lower initial costs of our customers. Demand for bifacial transparent backsheet products will grow rapidly as they become more mainstream going forward. We will continue to increase the proportion of bifacial products we produce to meet this demand.
话题交给Janet前, 我来介绍一下业绩指引。 据当前的预期, 2019年第二季度, 公司组件出货量在 3.2到3.3吉瓦之间, 2019年全年组件出货量在 14到15吉瓦之间。
Before turning the call over to Gina, I will quickly go over our guidance. Based on current estimates, we estimate our total solar module shipments to be in the range of 3.2 to 3.3 gigawatts for the second quarter and 14 to 15 gigawatts for full year.
谢谢任涛。接下来，现在我将话题交给Gina。
Thank you, Ripple. With that, I will turn it over to Gina.
Thank you, Ms. Chen. The total shipments during this quarter was 3,037 megawatts, exceeding our guidance and an increase of 50.7% quarter over quarter. Demand outside China during the quarter accounted for over 90% of total sales. Particularly, shipment growth of monopack products was 2.4 times higher than the same period last year. In terms of geographic mix, shipments to the Asia-Pacific region accounted for the largest portion, followed by European markets and then North America and emerging markets. With over 70% of our order book already filled, we have great visibility for the second half of 2019. Due to later than expected announcement of this year's policy, total PV installations in China were only 5.2 gigawatts in the first quarter. With the new policy's final release, demand is expected to surge in the second half of the year, with poverty alleviation and residential expected to be proceeded first. For the full year 2019, we expect total solar installation to be around 40 gigawatts. We will further reinforce our position in the largest PV market in the world by promoting our high-efficiency premium Cheetah and Swan products, and facilitate the market's transition towards grid parity. The U.S. market has been heating up over the last 2 years. The ITC played an influential role in stimulating demand. U.S. installation hit a record high in the first quarter. Due to the trade barriers and supply shortage, we anticipate that the market price will remain stable. Recently, it was announced in U.S. that bifacial solar modules were exempted from the Section 201 tariff. The tariff exemption on the bifacial modules will increase the product's competitiveness and help its proliferation in the U.S. market. The bifacial solar modules will likely become the mainstream choice in the future. In particular, companies with fully integrated bifacial cell and module capacity outside China, such as Southeast Asia, will likely to benefit tremendously. We have seen focusing on U.S. market and will continue to secure long-term orders with key U.S. clients. Grid parity has been achieved in a number of European countries. Traditionally, markets like Germany, France and Spain continue to display strong demand. In Spain, the major form of projects without subsidies are merchant PPAs, while distributed self-supply projects are also growing rapidly. We have noticed that distribution projects are growing rapidly in countries with limited land resources like Netherlands. In other European markets such as Poland, Greece and Hungary, demand is growing as well. The European market has great potential, and we will strengthen our market position and the market share by continuously providing our clients with superior products, premium service, and cutting-edge technologies. Turning to Asia-Pacific market, full-year demand in the Japanese market is expected to be around 8 gigawatts. The proposed cancellation of subsidy has resulted in a surge of demand in the near term. The demand in Indian market this year is expected to close to 10 gigawatts. The Indian government has launched several rounds of the protection policies, but module demand for foreign manufacturers remains strong. We are also focusing on Australian and the Vietnamese markets and are making such. In Australian market, industrial projects will take over residential projects to become the next growth driver. In Vietnam, the new round of subsidy policies has increased the confidence in the sustainable development of the renewable energy market. Various Southeast Asian markets are projecting strong growth, and we will continue to anticipate opportunities and deploy resources to markets with strong potential to seize a first mover advantage. We are also confident about our position in key emerging markets. The scale of Latin American markets is expected to be around 6 to 7 gigawatts, mainly driven by the growth in Mexico, Brazil, and the Chile market. Demand in the next 2 or 3 years is expected to remain stable at a similar level. Continuous round of the gigawatt level tenders are taking place in the Middle East region. Gulf nations led by Saudi Arabia are reducing their reliance on oil for energy. So we are very optimistic about the prospects in the region and will invest in more resources to explore those markets. The ASP in Q1 remains stable when compared to the previous quarter. Prices for the whole year are expected to be stable given the strong demand. As Ms. Chen has just mentioned, we will continue to make technical advances and cater to market demand with leading innovation and new products. At the same time, we will continue reducing our costs to support competitive energy costs as industry moves towards grid parity. In general, the global solar market will continue generating sustainable, rapid growth momentum for the rest of 2019 and beyond. Based on the first quarter data, our classic Cheetah module series is in high demand and are very popular, making up 70% in second half orders. We launched our new Swan Bifacial module at 2019 SNAP with the ability to provide higher yield gain and lower cost of energy. The module is also easier to install and greatly enhances reliability during operation. Thanks to these advantages, the Swan Transparent Backsheet Bifacial module was awarded the InterSolar Award 2019, the only module product to earn this acknowledgement in the industry. In addition, for the fifth consecutive year and in 2019, we have been ranked as the top performer in PV module reliability scorecard published by PVEL in partnership with DNVGL. A testimony of our continuous commitment towards product quality. We are leveraging our position in the industry to strengthen our reputation as a thought leader. In March, Jinko Solar was the only renewable Chinese corporate thought leader invited to attend the 2019 B20 Summit in Tokyo. As the solar industry representative, we were able to offer deep insight into the global green economy and transformation of the energy industry, which was widely covered by media. In terms of the product marketing, during the first quarter, we attended 30 important conferences, 35 core marketing events with key partners across the globe, and hosted a further 9 key customer events around the world. Our active global marketing events continue to allow us to reach the educate new customers about Jinko Solar high quality products. With that, I will pass over to Charlie.
Thank you, Dylan. Firstly, I'd like to walk you through our Q1 results. Total solar module shipments were 3 gigawatts, down 16% sequentially and up 51% year over year. Total revenue was $868 million, down 23% sequentially and up 28% year over year. The change was due to the decrease of solar module shipments. Gross profit was $144 million compared to $165 million in Q4 2018, excluding the CVD reversal benefit, gross profit in Q4 2018 was $155 million. The change was due to the decrease in the shipment of solar modules. Gross margin improved to 16.6% compared to 14.7% in Q4 2018. The sequential increase was attributable to a higher proportion of self-produced high-efficient mono products and further reductions of our production cost. The operating expenses was $109 million, representing 12.5% of total revenue compared to $130 million, which was 11.6% of total revenue in Q4 2018. The increase of operating expenses as a percentage of revenue is due to the increase of shipping costs as a percentage of revenue associated with a significant higher percentage of shipments to overseas markets. EBITDA was $49 million compared to $54 million in Q4 2018. Net income was $6 million compared to $16.7 million in Q4 2018. Non-GAAP net income was $5 million. This translates into non-GAAP diluted earnings per ADS of $0.12. Moving on to the balance sheet. The company had $650 million in cash equivalents, and restricted cash, compared to $506 million at the end of Q4 2018. The accounts receivable were $872 million, down from $889 million at the end of Q4 2018. Inventories were $966 million compared to $835 million at the end of Q4 2018. The increase of inventory is for the continued strong demand from international markets in the second quarter. The total debt was $1.8 billion compared to $1.4 billion at the end of Q4 2018. The net debt was $1.1 billion compared to $0.9 billion at the end of Q4 2018. The increase was due to the short-term borrowings for the working capital purposes and long-term borrowings for the capital expenditure. At this moment, we're happy to take your questions. Operator?
Operator?
Let's proceed to the question and answer.
Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press 0 followed by 2. Again, that's 01 on your telephone keypad now. We'll pause for a moment to build up the queue. Your first question is from Philip Shen from Roth Capital Partners. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for the questions. In terms of the Q1 shipments, I was wondering if you could break that down into multi-modules, mono PERC modules, similar to what you do annually. Also, can you share what the in-house vertical costs were in Q1? I think in Q4, you guys talked about $0.193, but if you could share that for Q1 as well, that'd be great. Then how do you expect your overall cost structure to trend by the end of this year and also the end of 2020?
Hey, Phil. It's a long one, so let me take the first half first. For the mix of different technology, I think in Q1, our shipment for the poly product are below 50%, and the rest will be the high efficient products. For the detailed numbers, we don't plan to disclose that. What's the other part of the question about the shipment? Sorry, can you repeat?
I think that's it for shipments. I mean, can you share how much was mono PERC? I think you guys do it annually, so if you can do it for the quarters, that would be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Philip, I think, you know, in the, you know, prepared remarks by our CEO and our planning, you know, for the shipment of mono high inflation products is roughly 70%. This is for the full year, you know, 2019.
Great, thanks, Charlie.
But for the quarter by quarter basis, you know, the percentage is increased, you know, by quarter throughout the year.
Good. And then in terms of the in-house vertical cost structure for Q1 and then expectations by year end and year end 20.
Sure. And I just can give you some highlights, but I, you know, we are not in position to disclose the detailed numbers given the consideration of competitiveness. And, you know, this year, and we are doing a lot of things, you know, to help to drive our cost. But given the strong demand throughout the international markets and anticipated in China kickoff in the second half year, and I think, you know, the material cost is very sticky, right? Like the glasses and the EVA, even, you know, the polysilicon price is stable. So we are targeting, you know, the blended, not blended, in-house, you know, production cost is 5%, 8% to 8% improvement this year. And on top of that, I just want to highlight our, you know, the new capacity. This is the key profitability driver for Jinko, because this year it's a transition year for Jinko, transforming to, you know, mono-based high inflation capacity. And, you know, our new mono wafer capacity in Sichuan, we just started the small scale trial production, which will be very, you know, cost competitive and build our strong foundations for Jinko, you know, to get a very strong advantage in, you know, future years.
Okay, thanks, Charlie. Can you talk about, I think the CapEx for the quarter was $60 million. How do you expect the CapEx to trend by quarter for the rest of the year?
The total budgeting CapEx throughout this year is roughly $450 million. And, you know, the key investment this year is the mono wafer as well as the PERC cell capacity. And we are almost doubling our high inflation capacity and focus on the mono wafer and PERC cell. If you look at our capacity, Q1, you know, mono wafer, roughly 6.5 gigawatts, and PERC is 5.4 gigawatts. It's almost double by the end of this year, reaching to 11.5 gigawatts mono wafer and 9.2 gigawatts PERC cell. So you can think about from, you know, I just highlight, you know, the mono wafer and PERC cell integration capacity is a key driver for our, you know, profitabilities. And now we roughly have 5 gigawatts integration capacity throughout the mono wafer, PERC cell, and module. And by the end of this year, we are going to reach to roughly 10 gigawatts, right?
Right. Okay. Just another quick one here for me. You know, Q2 is almost over. You know, as you look to Q3, you know, how much of Q3 shipments have been booked? And, you know, are you starting to see bookings from China with the policy now in place? You know, when we met in SNEC, the demand had not yet improved yet in China. I know the outlook for Q4 is better, but are you actually getting bookings for China now? And then another one, can you talk about the margin profile for Q2 and the margin profile for Q3? Thanks.
Hi, Phil. This is Jenna. Let me take your China demand question. So firstly, about second half, I think in my remarks I already disclosed that we have approximately 70% booked by the second half. That's covered both Q3 and Q4. I think Q3 book level is higher, slightly higher than Q4. And regarding the demand from China, we see strong demand from China or from Chinese customers. So, but for sure, the total number is not comparable compared with last Q4 because the late announcement of the policy in China. Personally, I expect the demand from China Q4 will be stronger than Q3.
Yeah.
I think you have another question about margin, right?
That's right.
Yes, just supplement, I think China demands, you know, Q3, we are seeing more activities, right, from the residential markets, as well as, you know, projects without subsidies. And, you know, we are expecting China is going to release the list for the projects with subsidy, you know, by the end of July or maybe early August, and expecting very strong, you know, installations in Q4 this year. In terms of gross margin, you know, in general, I'm very optimistic for the second half year because, you know, what I emphasize is the key revenue driver for Jinko is the integrated model-based capacity. We are going to almost double, you know, quarter by quarter starting from Q3 and to Q4. And for the Q2, the gross margin is estimated in the range of 14% to 15%. It's relatively lower than Q1. And Q1, the gross margin is pretty good and exceeding our guidance. And for the Q2, it's basically because, you know, our new capacity is still in the construction stage and will not have contribution to the profitability in the second quarter. Second one is the total shipments increased quarter by quarter. And as well as the shipment percentage is shifting very quickly to mono perk shipments. So, you know, if you look at, you know, calculate the in-house self-produced mono perk versus total shipments, it's a little bit lower in second quarter, as well as the perk sale price is relatively higher, you know, throughout the second quarter. So the blended gross margin is relatively lower, you know, quarter by quarter, in the second quarter. But I just said I'm very optimistic in the second half year. And, you know, we have almost bought, you know, over 70%, you know, in the second half year. Fixed price, international markets, anticipated strong China demands, and the new capacity came in, you know.
Okay, great. Thank you for all the questions. I'll pass it on.
Thank you, Phil.
Thanks.
Thank you, Philip. Your next question is from Maheep from Credit Suisse. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking our questions. Just on CapEx, so you said it's $450 million of CapEx for the full year. It's in line with your prior comments. But when looking at capacity structure, you said in the press release it'll have 1 gigawatt of extra module capacity this year, so you increased it from 15 to 16 gigawatts. Is that part of the CapEx? And also wanted to see if any bifacial capacity expansion is part of the CapEx as well.
Okay. So, you know, in general, total CapEx, including everything, including wafer, cell, and module, but in terms of allocation, the key investment allocation is the mono wafer and perc cell. For the module capacity, we increased from 10.8 gigawatts to 16 gigawatts, but the majority part, 80%, you know, incremental part is from the increased output. It's not new capacity. We just add very small scale, roughly 1.2 gigawatts new capacities for the module. The CapEx is very small, but for the remaining part, you know, roughly 4 gigawatts is throughout our, you know, upgrades, increment, increase output, yeah, decrease, you know, bottleneck of productions. And for the bifacial capacity, you know, in general, you know, our, you know, existing, you know, PERC cell capacity, we can do the bifacial. And in theory, for some facilities, we just need to do a very small, you know, minor agreement, minor upgrades to make sure the capacity can do the bifacial product. So I think it's very, very small. You can ignore the CapEx.
Got it. And just on sticking on bifacial, so our understanding is that the exemption is only for bifacial cells and not monofacial cells with transparent backsheet. Can you confirm if that's in line with your understanding? And also on bifacial, just want to understand what would be the incremental cost for a bifacial monoperc solar module for the U.S. market?
Yeah. So I think for us, when we read all the descriptions across the exemption files, we don't see, you know, any special things to rule out the transparent backsheet. For sure, you know, lawyers will be in a better position to confirm that. And for us, our understanding is that as long as the module can generate powers both from front side and the rear side, it could be exempted from 201.
Got it. So it's for a regular transparent backsheet monofacial cells, you're saying? All right. And then just in terms of cost, like how much extra cost, production cost do you anticipate for a transparent backsheet?
No. It's, you know, of course, you know, there are supposed to be additional production costs, but because of additional output, you know, the bifacial product, we think it's mainstream, providing more benefits to our developers. And what I can give you, you know, see is the bifacial, what we are promoting, you know, bifacial transparent flex sheets. It's very competitive, you know, compared to the traditional bifacial double glass, as well as, you know, because the module we are promoting is lighter and you know, easy to install. So we think, you know, we can easy to increase our penetration, you know, bifacial in the U.S. market given the favorable policy.
That is helpful. Thanks. And just regarding your order book, have you, apart from the 70% in the second half, are you seeing any orders for the next year, for Q1 or for 2020?
You mean the order book for 2020?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think right now I don't have exact figures, but we do have built up a pretty solid fundamental part of the order book in 2020. I think for sure it depends on our shipment targets, but I think a several gigawatt order book has been built for sure.
All right. So that's most of the questions from my side. I'll pass along for others. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions for your speakers today, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press 0 followed by 2. Again, that's 01 on your telephone keypad now. Your next question is from Brian from Goldman Sachs. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, thanks for taking the questions. Couple modeling ones for you, Charlie. I guess first on the OpEx, up almost 30% year on year. I know you mentioned the shipping charges and overseas demand, but just wondering how we should think about that line item as you move through the year, because it sounds like 2Q is also going to be pretty heavy non-China demand, and then based on your comments, it sounds like you really see a pickup in 4Q even relative to 3Q. So just generally speaking, how should we be thinking about the OpEx line given the pretty meaningful uptick year-on-year you saw here in Q1?
The operating expenses, will continue to be, 11%-12% the second quarter because it's still, significant international markets. But looking for the Q3, Q4, giving more shipments to China and, as well as more total shipments, the percentage will be, decreased a little bit quarter by quarter, starting from Q3.
Okay, so for 2Q, 11%-12% is the way to think about it. So you're running roughly 100 to 150 basis points higher on that metric year-on-year through the first half of the year. Is that fair? Okay. Second question, just on inventory. I know there's anticipation of a big second half build here. That was also up 30% year-on-year, and volume shipments for 2Q are being guided up only slightly sequentially. So I guess two questions related to that. First, will inventory be up again in 2Q versus 1Q? And then secondly, did the higher factory loading flow through to benefit gross margins this quarter?
In terms of inventory, in general, it will be stable quarter over quarter. But because of international markets, we are shipping over 100 countries, like U.S. taking out bigger and bigger proportions, and given the longer delivery time, particularly the shipping time. So if you look at the inventory Q1, end of Q1, basically last year end, and it's increased a little bit, but will be very stable. And we internally manage the inventory very carefully, and we produce the inventories based on the firm orders, so we don't see any, risk,
Okay, and just, secondly on the inventory build, I would imagine it would have benefited the factory loading throughout the quarter. Maybe that's not a benefit in 2Q since the inventory is going to be stable, but can you give us some sense, whether qualitatively or quantitatively, what kind of positive impact it had on your gross margins in the quarter?
You mean the second quarter or the second half year?
1Q, you're at 16.6. You're saying it's going to be 14 to 15 for 2Q. And I know there's some mix issues and what have you, capacity ramp that you mentioned. But again, I'm assuming that the better factory loading from the inventory build probably benefited you in 1Q, just trying to get a sense for what that might have been.
Yeah. But, in general, I think you need to think about from this perspective is the ASP is very stable, both for the mono PERC high-efficiency products as well as the multi products. And starting from the production perspective, and we have more capacity, when we have more capacity come out, and we have more integrated products, mono wafer and PERC cell produced by ourselves, our blended cost will be dropped a lot because we will rely on, the external PERC cell and lower. And, so we can deliver very decent gross margin if we produce everything by ourselves. So I don't think, the inventory will be a big, lumping point, for quarter and over quarter, gross margin fluctuations.
Okay, fair enough. And then last one from me, I'll pass it on. Not sure if you can say anything new on this, but the Hanwha lawsuit, can you give us some updates on where that stands, and what your positioning is? Thank you.
It's a very standard and the procedure, but it's taking 1.5 years. We take the same positions, and we think the Hanwha, the litigation for patent, they don't have a legal and technical basis, and we defend the litigation claim very firmly. Recently, if you look at the public news, and we filed the application to challenge the Hanwha patent itself. So we are very confident, we'll continue to expand our market share in the U.S. market.
If for some, unexpected reason, it sounds like from your end, this would be a surprise, but if for some unexpected reason it did come back as an unfavorable ruling for you, do you have any mitigation plans that you're starting to contemplate?
It's a very common practice, for any companies facing the, patent issues. And, we basically have the plan B, but I cannot dig into the details.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Once again, if you'd like to queue for a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press 0 followed by 2. Again, that's 01 on your telephone keypad now. As there are no more questions in queue, I'd like to hand the call back to Ms. Jiang for closing remarks. Please go ahead, Ms. Jiang.
On behalf of the entire JinkoSolar's management team, I want to thank you for your interest and participation on this call. If you have any further questions or concerns, please feel free to contact us. Have a good day and a good evening. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you, Ms. Jiang. Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you all for your participation. You may all now disconnect.